So tonight, we will continue with our evening pastime of Kaliya. But first, I would like to share with you a quote from Srila Prabhupada, which I found very pertinent and relevant for us. Srila Prabhupada says, "So prayer is needed because we are in danger. And actually, we pray when we are in danger. Suppose immediately if there was an earthquake here, or there was some natural danger, spontaneously we would pray. We pray, but we forget it. But the prayer, the tendency of offering prayer to the Lord at a time of danger, is automatic. So we should know that we are in danger. We are in this material condition of life, which means we are in danger. And therefore, we should pray. We must pray to pick us up. Pick us up. This is the necessity of prayer." So last night, we began our Kaliya Leela. First, we heard how fearful and dangerous Kaliya's lake and the surrounding area had become. And we also heard that Krishna wanted to remove him from his home in the lake. We heard how the cows and the boys drank the water and they fell down lifeless, and Krishna's tears revived them. Then, inwardly angry, Krishna climbed up, 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 up the massive tall Kadamba tree and jumped from an enormous height into the boiling, poisonous water. And then we heard of Kaliya's attack on Krishna. This beautiful young boy playing innocently in the water. And finally, we heard of the confusion of the young cowherd boys and the cows who were watching all of this from the shore. Kaliya had wrapped Krishna around and around and around in his massive black coils, so that only his head was visible. And he appeared completely lifeless. Then he brought him up in that condition. And all the cowherd boys and all the cows lost consciousness upon seeing this ghastly sight. How can we understand their grief? For the Vrajavasis, everything they owned was for Krishna. They lived only for him. They wanted their own bodies to be for Krishna. They wanted their family to give Krishna happiness. They wanted their wealth and their positions and their possessions to give Krishna pleasure. They wanted their wives to serve Krishna and make Krishna happy. Ultimately, all the items of happiness that each of them had in their houses, such as their butter, their milk, their ghee, and everything, everything was all to be enjoyed by Krishna. This was their mood. Everyone in Vrindavan feels like this. Without Krishna, their lives are meaningless. Hearing the boys crying, all the animals in the forest of Braj also arrived, and they gathered together on the sides of the lake. Birds flew there from a very far distance, and in great distress, seeing Krishna in that condition, they all expressed their sorrow in their own ways. And thus, the entire surrounding area around the lake resounded with the distressed cries of the animals calling to their dearmost Krishna. But why did none of these animals try to enter into the water and reach Krishna? The answer is that they were all so pained by the scene. And the depth of their pain was too great. And thus, their intelligence was completely bewildered. Eventually, they also lost consciousness, just like the cowherd boys, and they also collapsed to the ground. Meanwhile, back in the village, there was a grand celebration going on. Baladev, with his mother Rohini Devi, were happily giving charity to the brahmanas who had presided over that auspicious occasion. And the cowherd men were seating all their honored guests and beginning to feed them. When suddenly, everyone became aware of many disturbing things. The earth beneath their feet became tremorous like an earthquake, and the sun in the sky became dull and dark. Then howling winds and dust storms darkened all directions, and they saw meteors flying across the sky. Then jackals and dogs started wailing loudly, and the various limbs that we heard about for the men and the women that are inauspicious began to tremble uncontrollably. Seeing these omens all occurring simultaneously, everybody realized that something terrible was about to occur. Or that something very inauspicious had happened already. When the left side of all the cowherd ladies, when the left side of all the cowherd men trembled together, and the right side of all the cowherd ladies quivered at the same time, it indicated that something very serious was wrong. The festival was stopped. Seeing the indications of possible disaster, the residents of Braj naturally and immediately thought whether or not Krishna was safe. Then Yasodhamayi, accompanied by the elderly gopis, came running to that place, overpowered with intense feelings of love and fear, thinking that some misfortune may fall like a thunderbolt upon her son. From a distance, she spoke loudly. The time of returning has come, but Krishna has not arrived. Because he went to the forest without Balaram, there are many inauspicious omens. How can the leader of the cowherds remain sitting here contentedly? Then everybody criticized their own bodies, their houses, their lives, and all objects that were devoid of Krishna. They gave up the excellent food and they began talking amongst themselves about how today Krishna had gone alone. And as they talked, they began to worry more and more. Krishna's absence from their lives was their only cause of distress. Nothing else. Nothing else for them mattered. Thinking that Krishna's life may be in danger, everybody became fearful. Then, having witnessed the ill omens, some cowherd village men arrived there and asked Nanda Maharaj immediately, "Has Krishna gone to the forest today without Balaram?" And as soon as they heard Nanda Maharaj's reply, their hearts also were full of fear. You see, everyone in Vraj has full faith in Balaram. They knew that he would always protect Krishna, even in the greatest danger. They had so often seen him display his strength. Sometimes they had asked him to lift things that were almost impossible to lift, even by a grown man. So they knew his extraordinary prowess, and they had no hesitation in sending Krishna to the forest under his care. They were absolutely convinced that he was capable of averting any danger. But the fact that Krishna had gone to the forest alone, and then the sudden arrival of many ill omens, caused them to assume the worst. They also did not know where he was, or what might have happened, or how. And thus, in their pure hearts, they began to surmise that Krishna was dead. Meanwhile, seeing everyone's anguish, Balaram, who was fully aware of his brother's extraordinary power, did not share their grief. In his heart, he considered, even great hosts of demons, ferocious like wild forest fires, have no power to harm Krishna. The people of Braj are full of great anxiety, worried that Krishna may be taken from them. Because they are suffering, I am suffering. I am suffering in a way that I have no power to uproot. I am also afflicted, seeing that they're worried due to separation from Krishna. Although their suffering cannot be erased, if I acknowledge their suffering, it will become lessened. Just as a blazing fire makes a small fire seem insignificant, by recognizing their suffering, my suffering will become reduced. They are thinking only of Krishna's welfare. I should not disturb them in that. Although it is like a flaming fire that engulfs a forest, their distress is actually auspicious, for in the future it will bring about a glorious, blissful reunion with Krishna. Therefore, it is not appropriate for me to take steps to check their anguish. So Balaram decided not to say anything. But then, wishing to somehow mitigate their fears, he just started laughing. He looked at each Rajabasi. And then he started laughing. He started laughing. And in this way, he created a kind of confusion by his display of a completely opposite reaction to their own. And his laughter somewhat pacified their minds. But then once again, they became overwhelmed with fear and lamentation. And the Vrajabasis quickly left everything intent on finding Krishna. Then everyone, including the tiny babies, right up all the women, all the elderly persons, thinking only of Krishna, as a cow thinks of her helpless calf. Everyone rushed out of the village to join the search. They followed the path marked by Krishna's footprints, which bore the unique symbols of a flag, barleycorn, thunderbolt, lotus flower, and elephant gourd. While going down the forest path, the inhabitants of Braj experienced many astonishing symptoms. Sometimes they would suddenly stop and become completely stunned, thinking about Krishna. And at other times they would stumble and fall due to their great haste. And some of them would bump into the trees or the bushes, and because they would lose their vision. And sometimes they would just collapse in the dust. Seeing this, others would help them to stand up and get back on their feet. But then they would suddenly collapse for the same reason. It was a very pitiful sight. Not a single person remained at home. And at this point, the intelligence of everyone had become just like that of an animal. They lost their ability to think, to rationalize, to reason. And they simply moved in the direction that they thought would take them closer to Krishna. They were only living because Krishna was living. He was their life force, their soul, their consciousness, their minds never ever wandered from him. And as they walked along the forest path, they called out to him, Kaneha! Kaneha! Vatsa! Oh, Vatsa! Oh, Krishna! Krishna Lala! Lala! Kaneha! Oh, Vatsa! And when the path became wet from their tears, they held the hand of Baladev, whose cheerfulness in the face of such danger seemed to say, My dear Brajavasis, Krishna is in no danger. His life is not threatened. He will soon remove all your grief. This was the first time that the Brajavasis were observing Krishna's footprints with such intensity. They engaged the young children to run here and there and try to locate them, for Krishna had gone on a long journey that morning to many different places. And so the children would look and see, because sometimes Krishna stood up high on a rock, or he was walking on the grass. And then there were no footprints. Then they would frantically search to see if some grass had been chewed by the cows, or look everywhere to see if they could find markings of the cow's hooves. In this way, their journey moved very, very slowly, although they tried hard to move quickly, thinking that the path was very long. Where is Krishna? Where is he? What happened? Where is he? Thinking like this, their eyes became full of tears. Eventually, Krishna's footprints led them along the pathway that led to the river Jamuna. These footprints were fresh and new, indicating that Krishna and his friends had arrived there just a short while before. But the footprints ended at the bank of the Jamuna. From a distance, they saw that within the lake, Krishna was wrapped up in the coils of the serpent's body, and he was unconscious. And their worst nightmare, their greatest fear had been confirmed. Then they saw, near the edge of the water, all the boys and all the cows lying lifeless. And surrounding the lake, all the animals were simply crying and crying in pain, calling to Krishna, Had the cowherd boys been conscious, there might have been some hope for understanding what had happened. But seeing them all scattered around the banks, completely lifeless, Nanda Maharaj and the rest of the Braj community, they lost all hope. They too felt as though they were drowning in that poisonous lake. Their hearts were burning with the poison. The women fell down like creepers that are thrown down by a fierce wind. And the men toppled like trees that had been uprooted. Filled with shock and pain, Nanda Maharaj called out in a voice choked with tears, "Oh, my darling son, what has happened? Why have you suddenly done this? Oh, dearest of all, please come back to us." Then, gripped with lamentation, the cowherd men fell unconscious around the king of Vrindavan, while the wailing, piteous women, wailing like kurari birds, those elderly gopis, all cried and cried. Although we are hearing a very painful part of this pastime, please all keep in mind, keep yourselves hopeful by hearing what Baladev has said to us. Namely, that although the Vraj residents are feeling uncontrollable grief, in future, this will bring about a glorious reunion with Krishna. So tomorrow night, we will hear what happens next.